Hello, everyone. Good night again to our weekly show, Christian and Sex. This is at DJ KTE. That's Key the Entrepreneur. And we're here tonight for another fantastic segment here. I'm here along with Lady Misty, who will be coming on board real soon. And together, we are going to make it happen tonight. And of course, you, the wonderful audience. For the last few weeks, you have been so vibrant and so interactive that we just have to keep it going. We want to have a conversation here. Want to just have good dialogue and discuss issues that affects our families. From the male to the female to the kids, to our community, churches, and how we can create a bit of understanding to live among each other and, I guess, affect each other more of a positive way opposed to the negative or the negatives. So, folks, I hope you get ready tonight for a wonderful segment. We usually encourage our audience to kind of give us some time to get warmed up into the show, and you can have your questions ready and so forth. And that will definitely be a good thing, so we can share and hear your perspective on how you feel on Christian and sex. Here, we don't come to quick judgments. We are coming from a Christian perspective, and so we are going to be sharing from that aspect of it, and we welcome your ideas and see how we can as people, you know, as the human family, I would say encourage and uplift each other, which I think is the idea of what we are doing. So last week, we discussed a very important topic, and it's a segue into what we will be discussing this week. But last week, we talked about to what extent the family dynamics changed. And of course, we talked about women delaying having kids. We talked about single women having more babies. We talked about same-sex relationships, and just to touch on a few things that we had read from the fact sheet. And we find that people were very spirited. Folks came on board, and we really was having a wonderful time. So I see Willow trying to call, and let me see who this is. Willow.
Hello. Good night. Good night.
This is Willow. Hello. You're on the air.
Just check my boot. That's
actually. Okay, so Willow's not answering, so let me just move right along. But anyway, we talked about those things last week, and so this week, we're going to talk about a very important topic, and it's predator, aware or unaware. And as you may know it, we have this crazy case going on. I'm not sure if you heard about the Harvey Weinstein case. And today, it was reported that a jury convicted Mr. Weinstein of felony sex crime and rape, but acquitted him from the most serious charges against him, predatory sexual assault. And of course, as I say what we discuss here affects us all. And as far as I'm aware of the case, watching it from some time ago, you know, it's really incredible to see how in society people can go through stuff. You see how power, sometimes greed, and men who are hold high office, and you know, the power can be abused. You also see where a lot of women may be ambitious. Sometimes they are they know the risk and they settle because they're looking for you know, fame and fortune and that kind of thing. I think we have Misty here with us.
Yes, you do. Good night.
Hi, Misty. Hi, how are you? I always say when you're here, how was your day?
It was a busy one. I got in kind of late, so I had to be, you know, kind of preparing dinner and all of that before, but it was okay.
Nice. I'm glad you're good. You know, nothing like having our health, right? So
yes.
I kind of kicked things off here a little bit, Misty, and I was kind of went back a little bit last week and what we talked about.
Okay.
We talked about to what extent has the family dynamics changed? And of course, you know, kind of ran down a few things that we talked about. Do you remember anything that stuck out with you last week that you remembered?
Well, it was a live discussion. I remember that.
Yeah.
And,
you remember the tail end of it? You remember the tail end of what we discussed last week?
Yes. Persons were, you know, asking about toys and the whole Christians view masturbation and all of that.
Okay, got you.
So,
yes, we did.
Yes.
So I kind of said we're going to somewhat dive a little bit into that, but just kind of switch gear a little bit. I was directing the conversation today on news that happened today with Harvey Weinstein. Not sure how much you're following
the
case.
New York Times,
yeah, serious. So he was convicted. He's in Rikers, I believe. And I guess that's where he's going to be held. And I guess until the final say so, I guess how many time he'll be spent in jail, if any, or how long. So it's been a while, the case has been happening. And so tonight, the topic tonight is predator, aware or unaware. So we know in our world we have men who prey on women, you know, from wars to your local CEO to the powerful Mongols, so to speak, to the Hollywood, you know, big wigs and whoever, you know, even churches, some churches, you have men who have power and authority, somehow abuse that and prey on women, you know, or
right.
Children. So that's kind of where we want to deal with, as well as those who are doing it, not being aware that they're doing it. Because many men, I realize that they say things and do things towards a female, and they're hurt and they're uncomfortable, but they're not aware of it. So there are two angles to this thing here.
Okay.
What do you say?
Can you not be aware of it though? Like,
I don't know, but
from the man's point of view, it's okay to do that.
It's never okay whether you're aware or not aware. It's never it's never a good thing to do. Because see, I think that when I say unaware, there are levels of it. There are people who sit down and plan. And they feel, well, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, I want this particular woman. And this is my approach in you know, getting my way with her.
Right.
And then you have the other guy who just basically, he has he's cultured a certain way. Maybe the guys he's been around with, what he sees dad did, you know, what he thinks is okay, normal for him. And doesn't know that he's really affecting, you know, others in a very negative light. So I think those are two dynamics that we want to kind of look at, because a lot of times people are just unaware how they're showing up and how they're affecting other people, you know? So I think these are areas where I think I want to address these things. I think we should address these things because it is very widespread. I mean, you think about the amount of women who have been, I would say, preyed upon. It's staggering, you know? So I think it's just something that we really should really kind of dive into and see how the audience feels about it. You know, they can always call in and share their thoughts on it. This is UME Radio at UMEDB, New York. You can get we're here every Monday night at 9, and we also air on Tuesday at 9. We can hear the segments. You can also check out our app. For those who are at your app store or your Play Store, it's UME Radio. That's the letter UME Radio, one word. And you can also get us from there as well. Yes. So do you know of anyone, Missy, that you can say, well, listen, this person was working at a job and, you know, the boss, you know, wanted certain extra favors and they would probably put the pressure on her and, you know, maybe a little enticement here, money, whatever it is, or a raise. Mm-hmm. And they just maybe either left the job or I've heard of any stories of females who have gone through that. Someone even known and
you have gone through that.
Oh, you've gone through that.
I've gone through that.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So how did you navigate that? How did you navigate that scenario?
I used to work at a particular place just out of high school.
So you were young.
I started working pretty young. So just out of high school, and I was there about a year. And I moved to a particular section. And there was this man there. Well, he was my immediate supervisor at the time. At first, he was pretty nice to me, you know, showing me around and so on. So I really didn't take much thought to it, you know. I just thought he was being friendly, you know, being nice, trying to show me the ropes because I was in a new department. So I was learning the ropes, right? Anyhow, I was timetabled, like scheduled, because I was basically like an intern there at the time because I wasn't fully on staff. And I noticed that I would be scheduled for evenings. I'd have to work late. And I found that very strange, like all the time, And I went to him and I said, but I don't understand why I have to be here on overtime and so on all the time. And he didn't really give me a very plausible response. Anyhow, you know, I continued doing what I had to do. And then the advances came. It came to a point where it was my word against his. Because he was in a position where he could manipulate things.
Was it monetary enticements or
It was like promotional because, you know, he threatened my job there.
Okay.
Because I wasn't yet on staff, right? And his advances were, you know, mostly of a sexual nature.
Okay.
I I found out, you know, that he was along with he was married, by the way.
Yeah, and he very was, he very was, common stories we hear about a lot of these married men.
Yeah. At that time, he could be my father, you know, that kind of thing. And I noticed too that he was along with another young lady in the office, but she was along with it, so you know, that was my business. That, you know, that's not my kind of thing. And it got really bad. It got to the point where we had a physical fight.
Okay.
And I had to, I stabbed him with a scissors. Can I say that on air?
Well, you know, you defended yourself. Yourself.
Yeah, I had to because of his advances and so on. He wasn't hurt, you know, badly. Okay. He probably just got a scrape to his arm and such. But we had to go to court and, you know, the back and forth and all that. So I know what that feels like, especially when it's somebody in, you know, a certain position and you have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because you don't have much say, you know, you don't have the links to stand up for yourself.
Right. So it's like David and Goliath, huh?
Yeah, and at that time, honestly, he did a lot of things to sway people his way.
Okay.
You know, he told a lot of the staff members that it was a misunderstanding and I misunderstood him and, you know, he was just trying to be nice to me and I was ungrateful and a whole lot of stuff.
And you know, it's interesting, but it's amazing how often you hear that dynamic where, you know, when caught, all of a sudden, you know, just trying to galvanize a team around them, you know, as if they're the good guys, you know. And I've read a story several times similar to what you're saying, you know, with the predator somehow getting people to, I guess. What's the word I'm trying to find? It's to be complicit, you know, to let it fly and, you know, turn a blind eye somewhere or the other. So I hear you. So, you know, your story really, I'm sure, resonates with a lot of females around the country, you know, and the world. And that's kind of why we talk about these things, you know, Misty. And It's a real issue. I see, if you don't mind, those names I'm seeing. I see Namtam. I see Falfed. Welcome.
India Lee.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Scott, welcome, welcome aboard. Okay, I see that's Greenland. Greenland, I think. Yeah, welcome, guys. Welcome to Christian and Sex. Again, so we air Tuesday nights at 9. And guys, you can definitely tune in. We thank you for joining us tonight. And you can always call in with your thoughts and your feedback. You know, you can email us as well. And we can definitely have a good time tonight. So.
That's right.
So you think a lot of these people, when they're caught in these scenarios, do you think? Thank you. You say glad I pronounced your name correctly. All right, Greenland. All right. But do you think that a lot of women are being opportunist while they get caught in these things, or is that solely the men just having their way? What's going on in this thing here, Misty?
I'm not even sure. All right. In my case, well, the young lady that was along with him was my friend. Right?
Okay.
We were friends, but I didn't know of the relationship at first. Right? It's in saying to her that, hey, you know, this person is coming at me and so on and so on. She says, really?
So she was, she sounded surprised.
Yeah, because she didn't know that I was talking about the same person at first. And then I was saying, yeah, it's him. And she's like, no, that can't be because such and such and such. And I'm like, okay, well, that's your thing. So you do you, right? And I told her that I don't think a friend and myself should be along with the same man. I don't know. Even if that was the case, no. But, you know. And at first, it put a strain on our relationship as friends because like, she didn't believe me or she thought that I wanted in. Even though I didn't want in at all because, you know, that's not my thing.
So what I'm hearing, Misty, is that having principle and having your moral set is a key thing when it comes to these kind of things. Because what I'm hearing, and I've heard it, because the lady that's representing Harvey Weinstein, she's really digging deep into the minds of these women, you know, as much as some could be innocent, but she's saying there's some who are might have been opportunistic in saying, yes, hey,
and
you
also,
know what?
I was listening to an interview that she did on a podcast.
Okay.
And she was saying, the reporter asked her, you know, how do you feel representing him? What would you do if you were in a position like that?
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, I will never be in that position because I don't put myself in compromising positions.
Yeah, I thought I heard that too. Yeah.
And I was like, that's not the case. That's not always the case. Thinking about it and thinking about the situation I went through those years ago when I just started working, I didn't put myself into that position. I went to work, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't go there seeking anything. I went there to work.
But Lady Misty,
on in any way or anything like that.
But Lady Misty, look at this, right? Look at how Hollywood presents the glamour and the fame. And a lot of women, you know, people in general, but in this case, we're talking about women who said, man, I want to be a star. I want to be the next, you know, Hollywood Julia Roberts, you know, if you want to say that. And they now, you know, a lot of them, they wait tables. They didn't take a regular job. They had to sacrifice, you know, so much of their lives, you know, to get in that world of where to start to meet these people who are going to influence a career and make them become a star. And sometimes having this opportunity where you meet this huge, rich, white, powerful men, which most of them are, here's your big opportunity. So you're thinking now that
that's true.
And a lot of them are naive too to how far or what these men will do anyway. So I think a lot of women who have gone through it have kept silent. And I find it interesting how when one person comes out for whatever reason, whether it's us finally being bold or finally saying this enough is enough, then you have a whole slew of people coming behind saying, hey, me too, me too, me too. To the point where you wonder, hey, are they just trying to make money off this guy or what? Or is it really the case? Not diminishing the reality of what happened or what is happening. But now that here you are face to face with a guy, you're definitely not an equal plane. This is somebody who's influential now, power right now.
Right.
And he's saying, meet me here, meet me there. And you're really saying, listen to me, if I don't meet him there, I'm going to blow this chance. You know, you don't want to say no, but you're hoping for the best. You're hoping that things will be okay. And here you're caught in a place where you feel vulnerable, and then you're trying to not to sound too, standoffish. You want to kind of see what the next round is going to be with our company dog too short, and hopefully he'll, you know, work with you and so you can get the deal or the promise or the contract to go wherever the next phase is. But why do these women sometimes, why did they go alone? I mean, as far as I know, it was a married man. So why would they bring somebody else, another female or a male or something? I don't know. I'm intrigued by that.
I don't know. Sometimes, you are asking if it can be about money. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the pendulum can swing either way.
Okay.
Because yes, for to get a chance in. Because I've always heard that Hollywood is a hard place to get a chance.
Mm-hmm. So yes, it is.
I do believe that some women may do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that that's not the case sometimes. And why they don't go with somebody? Because they trust this person, that this person is authentic and is going to help them along. And I'm seeing where this man is up in age. And, you know, I'm guessing he's respectable. You know, as you said, he's influential. So I would think that most of these women would not see him as a predator.
Okay.
So there is no need to be overly cautious, let's say that. There's no need to be overly cautious. And
So in other words, is until the top blows over, that's when it's like, wow, we didn't know. So all this time has been kept under the rugs.
Right.
Hey, I see Summer 99. I see you on board. I see Delhi. The name Delhi sounds familiar. I've seen the name before. I think you're a returning listener. Thank you. I see Young. Thank you, Young, for entering. PBGCF. Well, interesting name. Just joined us, guys. Thank you. Welcome to Christians and Sex. Tonight we're talking about sexual, we're actually predators, aware or unaware. So we're dealing now with the one who is aware of it. And in his case, it's as if someone said he built this empire to actually to prey on women, in other words. And so the empire was the disguise, you know. And the man on the inside was what he was about. It's a sad case. It's a sad case. And you see how women are affected, and you see how it affects the family. Now you have a lot of women now who, moving forward in their lives, a lot of them they are suspicious of men, to the point where even you being nice is still suspect. So how do you win?
I've been there. I know.
Wow, and so many women.
I don't think you ever get over it.
You never get over it. Wow.
I don't think so. I think it turns on a switch in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
To just, you know, just have a cautious mind.
Okay.
You know, just to keep your eyes open a little bit wider, mm-hmm. and, you know, listen a little closer and
okay,
all of that kind of thing.
Interesting. So it's just fine.
And you have to be like sifting through, was that a joke? Was that a lead on? Was that, you know?
Wow. You know, the Me Too movement have gone so far. I mean, they have really, really, it's like, it seems like the pendulum is swinging too far now, because you have it now where even a compliment can seem as if it's a sexual harassment.
Yeah.
You know, you're losing perspective now. But it's really a sad world. I'm not sure if any of our listeners out there, if you want to share something, you can call in and talk with us. We can maybe just, you know, get a take on what some of your thoughts are on this new breaking news with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, this, of course, is not predicated to just the one particular ethnicity. I think it affects Blacks and Spanish and Africans and you name it. And people everywhere, you know, I think experience these things in some way, shape, or form. And I think what blew my mind was when I found out when the Catholic thing, when that was exposed the way it did. And, oh, my goodness, the amount of priests, you know, that were charged with these things. It was pretty heavy stuff, you know. So there's really no safe haven.
That puts such a dark cloud over the church how people view the church and Christendom. And people, to be honest, people lose that kind of reverence and respect for, you know, the church. The church and what it should stand for.
Correct.
You know.
So I think for those who are doing the right thing, thank God for them. For those who advocate for the young or the weaker vessel in that sense, or female that we need to protect. I thank God for those people. But you were saying something very important that I like, and you said you want to be a little more careful, a little more thoughtful, a little more aware. Because out of everything that we consider to be bad or, you know, life, I would say, changing, there's some good that we can get from it.
Yes.
There is some positive that we need to look at. And even when we have our own kids, how we can help to mold those kids into thinking more carefully and be more aware of the world around them, because it is a crazy mean world out there, you know.
As a parent, you can't help to be kind of paranoid sometimes, because there are so many things that are happening that are not good.
You
try your best to protect them, but you really know you can't protect them from everything.
Can't do it. You know, I remember the mom of my kids, the mother of my kids. At one point, I thought she was being paranoid. I thought she was, and she was just being very, very careful because the field of work that she did. It was a lot of cases where, you know, you're dealing with substance abuse and men who had to, you know, deal with certain counseling, and they would confess what they did, and, you know, for their own, I guess, healing or growth. And the things that you would hear, it's mind blowing, you know. And of course, you had to be kept confidential. I mean, confidential, because that's, you know, that's the confidentiality law. But when you hear the stories, like, my goodness, you know, I have young girls and young babies home. I better make sure I keep my eyes open wide. So a lot of times you'd be like, hey, are the kids are they outside? Do you see them? You know, where are they? I don't hear them, you know, and kept me on my toes. Sometimes paranoia sometimes saves some family. Because how many times you've heard about kids being snatched from the street, you know, and the whole sex trafficking thing going on? There's always some kid missing. So it do behooves us to be very, very diligent and be very deliberate in watching our kids and our young people, young girls especially, because of what's out there, you know? Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So you think we should kind of touch back a little bit on last week's program, a little bit on that? We had ended off with a little.
Oh, yeah. We We can. We're at the halfway mark, so
yeah,
we can do that. Once again, I want to say thank you for joining us. We have been talking about the Harvey Weinstein case and our thoughts on it and how we are affected or not affected by it. And so we are moving on to the second segment of our show this evening. So last week, quite a number of our callers and our listeners, they were having a very spicy discussion where we were talking.
Yes, it was very spirited, yeah, guys. Very spirited. Y'all were very interactive last week.
And the issue of, you know, sex and masturbation came up, and one of the questions that was posed is that, is masturbation a sin? What makes it a sin? How do we address that in church? Are we addressing that in church? Mm-hmm. Or is it covered up like the rest of the sexual topics that we're afraid to talk about in church?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So
I think somebody asked about using toys and so on as well.
Yes, the toy store. I've seen a couple of those, you know. And it's funny because I remember a funny story. There was a store downtown. It was a Christian bookstore, and I used to go there like every so often, and you know, we'd buy music, and that's where I got my first Bible. My nice thick leather Bible with my name on it. It was so cool. And along the way, there was an adult's store.
Right.
Along the way, going to that, I always passed that store, and but you know, never thought about even imagine going in there. You know,
going inside, right?
Yeah, but I was always past the store. But I think at one point they kind of did some lighting on the outside, on the wording, to make it very attractive and almost like alluring. So one day passed by.
Caught your attention.
Caught my attention. Like, wow, lights, you know. But you know, me being scared and just very, you know, sheltered kid, church kid, you know, still was kind of, you know, thinking about it. But so one day, on my way down to this Christian bookstore, I decided to just pop in there. Scared out of my mind. And went in there, and I tell you, I was just like, it's funny because I really had the thought that it was only certain kind of people would frequent these stores. But when I was out there were like these men in sharp suits, and they're, you know, like, wow, looking at whips and chains. I'm like, what's going on here? I was just taken by the whole visualness. And the variety, I'm like, what in the world is this? I'm like, I guess I don't know what's going on in this world here. I guess I'm really, really out of touch. But I didn't stay in there too long. I mean, I wrote some things that I actually inserted in my book, so I won't give it all away on this segment here. But it was a learning experience for me. But I realized that people do get into some heavy, heavy stuff. I think someone asked about fantasies, about fantasies.
But
to get back to the masturbation issue, I think that, like I said, I read a book, and the author gave two perspectives on it. He said, listen, one, you know, and it was a Christian event I went to, so it's coming from a Christian event. A lot of people, people have different ideas about it, and so on and so forth. But we come from a Christian perspective, so you got to bear with us, all right? And so therefore, he said, if one does it and think about the opposite sex in that manner, biblically, it would be considered a sin. That was the thing. And the other thought was, if someone is able to release himself without having those thoughts, or conjure those thoughts about someone else, then it may not be as far as that's concerned, because it's a relieving of oneself. So that was just where that went.
But we also talk about can it be done without thinking about something?
You know, in this world,
you'll be surprised. The ratio of men to women, you know, well, the men would always, because most boys in their puberty, leading up to young adulthood, have, you know, masturbated a lot of times. But I'm saying, usually, I was having a discussion with one of my friends, and he was telling me that, you notice that usually you see, you know, especially like young boys having like magazines under their beds, you know, like adult magazines and stuff like that. So, which enhances experience, I would think. So, I'm not a man, so I don't know, but.
Well, I think typically, can
you relieve yourself without the thought?
Well, maybe some can't because of how, but I think at the same time, you know, it's funny, but you know, I've actually seen.
I thought they were hand in hand. I didn't know that.
Well, you remember, I said last week that there are these people who seem to be. They call them 5 percenters, or the 5% of the population that seem to be able to, they can quit smoking at a drop of a hat. They can stop drinking at a drop of a hat. You know, when the majority of people just can't, they have to go to one-step program, 12-step program, the patch, they have to, you know, immatize, counseling, and some just is done. So I don't know who those people are, but as far as I know, is not, I wouldn't say it's impossible. The human mind is a very powerful thing. And in fact, I saw a documentary, I don't remember the actual name of it, where people experience orgasm without even touching each other, without even touching each other.
Wow.
Yes. So yeah, it's a lot that goes on, that different culture, different way of doing things, and you'd be surprised how it's different from what we may grow up to think. Or, you know, how we culture to believe. But I personally don't think it's the norm. You know, maybe a few percentage of people can do that. You know, something I would just, you know, espouse, you know, go ahead, guys, you know, get down and hopefully don't have a thought, especially the way our world is right now. We're so visually inclined, you know what I mean? You know, to sell something on TV, a car, a radio, a hammer, a stove, they're using a nice, pretty lady. So they're already planting our minds that you need to have some imagery to get some kind of
enjoyment. It's already enjoyment. Socially intertwined. So.
Yes. So how do you feel about toys? Because here we are talking about toys now. When you're married to a woman, that you're supposed to be hers and her alone, and the way it is, why use extra stuff? Why not just go with the natural and just go forth and be a blessing to each other? Why the added stuff? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know?
It depends on the kind of person you are. There are couples that using toys is not an offense. It's an enhancement.
So you're saying both parties have to agree, in other words.
Right, because it doesn't make any sense if you are alone or into it. Well, I don't think there's any fun in that. And that may create an argument.
Gotcha.
I think there should be discussion first. Because you wouldn't want to just surprise me with something. You know? For example, suppose I don't like to be tied up. You know, or you understand?
Yeah.
So I think there should be a discussion about it. You know, find out the likes, dislikes, and I think it would be nice if both parties go, you know, researching the kinds of toys. There are so many.
Okay.
These days.
But you know, so it's funny.
It would be fun to research that together, so at least both of you would, you know,
are on the same page.
Yeah.
But you know, that's interesting what you say, because as someone mentioned toy last week, or toys last week, there are so many things that people can use as scents, certain smells, certain creams and lotions, certain things that it may not necessarily be you know, in any way abrasive in that kind of, in sense of the word, or invasive in that kind of word, but stuff to kind of create an environment, you know. And you'd be surprised that people say, well, people know these things, but you'd be surprised how many people never venture out of something that's a little bit different, just a little bit new and safe.
That's true.
You know, they just, it does the same old, you know, routine thing, and sometimes they wonder why sometimes they don't maintain that level of excitement and mystery.
Some people are just old school. Somebody's old school. Like, and I met a guy. We were at a function, I think. And he's a pretty young guy, like pretty young. And he's like, I'm not into oral sex. Mm-hmm. And his friends were laughing, like, what do you mean? You know, because they were saying, like, you're young. What do you mean by, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he was brought up that, you know, that's just not right.
Okay.
So, you know.
I know. I know a grown lady. She, sorry to cut you, Misty. Way in her 30s and maybe close to 40s or 40s. And she said that, you know, she, before she became saved, came into church, she pretty much was a party girl. And she you know, pretty much was explorative in a lot of her ways. And when she got married, the guy said, no way, we're not even going there. So for her, it was a very, very difficult thing for her, transition for her, to have someone so adamant against, and never. And she said, wow. And she said, she confessed that, you know, she just learned to cope and deal with him and love him, do it. But how many men you've known or women you've known who have looked out the window and, you know, it's things that, a marriage commitment, you know, I think people these days, they don't take it as serious as before. And I think it doesn't take as much for folks to start looking out or thinking, you know. So the pressure is on again with the family again. You see, we're living at a time where people are exposed more than ever. And
we're too exposed sometimes, I think.
So you have the man and the woman have to keep up more with the money, more with the emotional support. So you have a time where you have the men working hard, and the woman is saying, I need more time, I need emotional support. But then she wants the money to shop as well and look good. And then, you know, you have a situation where people are working hard and they burn out. And so therefore they're not functioning as they would like to function as before.
That's right.
And then you have a woman or a guy who has a memory of a past fiery thing that happened, and now they're trying to compare that into their marriage and overlooking the fact that there are kids involved and life is a little more complex and they're, you know, the work is there, and sometimes people just not as reasonable as they should.
Yeah.
And many
and not as sensitive to other people.
Yeah, the changes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So being married, Mr. Being a married woman, do you what would you say to the young lady who's married, like yourself, or looking to get married? I mean, how would you share some of your thoughts about being an effective wife and mother? You know, I'm sure to a great husband, of course. I mean, how would you maybe give some little tips and tricks of the trade, so to speak?
I think you should, and this is something I tell, like, some of my friends all the time. First of all, you will not no matter how much you know a man, you will not know everything. No matter how much you know a woman, you won't know everything until you start to live with them and interact with them in the same space. Right? Now, especially when it comes on to sex and anything relational like that, I tell people all the while, have a discussion. And this is not a one-night thing. You know, go into everything. Ask questions.
Excuse me.
Because you may not know what you're agreeing to. You may not know. Find out the likes, dislikes. Whether you're Christian or not, because these things will prove to be important in your relationship.
Wow. Talk about let me give a shout out here.
If it's something.
Yeah, you can continue, but let me give a few shout outs here. I see Big Rick. I see Belly Sunny. I see Laurie. Welcome. Thank you guys for joining us. Go ahead, Misty.
Right. See here, I'm reading a comment by Big Rick that says it takes at least 3 to 5 years of living with a person, depending on the people, to learn who someone is. And that's true.
I've been
this
time.
Five years since I've been married, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year. And there are other things that I didn't know before going into marriage, right? Wow. And it can take much longer, but especially when it comes down to sex, sex is a very important part of your marriage. And you have to think about the dynamics of the individual. For example, if you are getting married to somebody who has been what we would call like out in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Before you got saved and coming, as opposed to a church girl who has been in church all her life. That's two different experiences right there.
True.
A discussion has to be had about those kinds of things when it comes down to sex. If you like toys, like those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
My friend would say, find out the freak level
of
the person.
Got you.
You know?
How much of this thing should be discussed in a counseling session? And how deep should it go?
I was just about to say, if in your own private discussions you find that there is something that's difficult to talk about, then in your premarital counseling, and just by the way, I'm telling you, premarital counseling makes sense. Okay. Don't think that, oh, I'm in love, I'm going to do that. Premarital counseling gets into some areas you didn't even think about.
Wow.
Right. So that's the time now where the counselor, along with yourself and your partner, can go in and talk about certain issues or certain questions that you may have that you may probably be afraid to ask or not sure of the answer, and so on.
So counseling is highly imperative.
I highly recommend it. You know, there are persons that say that it's optional, I don't have to, but personally, I think that you should.
Wow.
Because it brings out a lot of stuff that you never even thought about. You know, something as simple as money management.
Okay.
Some people have an issue with something as simple as, should there be a joint account or should I keep my own money? You keep your own money. Something as simple as that, you know.
Can cause a lot of issues. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So you've heard it from the lady. You heard it from Lady Misty. listen to Christian and Sex, y'all. Here on Yumi Radio. You can check out an app at the Play Store, App Store. Yumi Radio. That's one word: UMERADIO. There's so much more we have going on that app. As far as what we are sharing with folks and offering to folks, we are a community here of people that where everyone has a voice, And I think we have a call in real quick before we end out the session here. This is Patty okay. Cake. How are you? You're on the air, Patty Cake. How are you?
Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
Hi, hello. Good night.
Where are you calling from?
I'm fine, you?
I'm doing fantastic. And where are you calling from?
I'm good.
I'm from Canada.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
What do you want to share with us
tonight?
Shout
out to Canada.
Well, I would like to share an experience with you guys.
Okay.
When I was younger, I was touched by a bad man, and it's still on me today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So, have you gone to counseling to deal with that issue? Have you talked to like a pastor or someone to offer some kind of a guidance or counseling on that to kind of deal with that whole issue?
Well, it was someone from my family, so I felt really ashamed to talk to people around me.
So what made you finally decide to speak up about it? What made you come to that point?
Well, it's been so long now, and I don't know how to get it out, you know?
So you haven't spoke about it to anyone yet?
I did to some people, but they couldn't do much about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, I would highly encourage you to speak to a counselor. We have a few minutes left on the program, but I'm glad you make accept the call in, because I'm sure, like you, there are many others out there that are suffering in silence. And
that's right.
And it's just a year. We're going to make breakthroughs. It's a year. We're going to see people say, "You know what? Enough is enough." You know, and I won't become a victim anymore. I won't maintain a victim mentality anymore. I will become a victor over this thing, because we are a spiritual being that's occupied in a physical body, and sometimes we are allowed to think more physical than spiritual, because you see, at the mm-hmm. end of the day, our body is going to change. Our bodies, we may die one day, so the body is not as important as the spirit man. And that's where God works. That's where when we say Christian and sex, we're saying we operating from a Christian perspective first, from a spiritual perspective first, that provides healing and provides wholeness to the people. That's what it's about. You have a conversation. We can talk and see what has happened here, and how can we go back and see who we are and who we belong to. And we belong to the Creator, and He made us powerful. It made us victorious, not victims. So when this didn't happen to us, it means that someone was trying to destroy who you were. And here you are now saying, "Hey, this happened to me." And I'm sure someone who's listening right now saying, "You know what? This lady can call in. Maybe I should go see someone too about my situation." So you can touch lives, even with your testimony, even with your experience, can be a blessing for so many people around the world. This station right now is in over 40 countries, and people call in and they listen and they participate. So I thank you for calling in. But before we go, if you don't mind, I whenever something happens in this world that we call crisis, people pray. Governments pray and presidents pray, or pray for the country. Well, we believe in prayer. So I'm whispering a short prayer, if you don't mind.
Well,
Misty?
What happened is, my uncle was a priest, and he raped me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's
so
what
my faith in religion went very low after that.
Mm.
I couldn't believe God, even if people want me to.
You need to speak with somebody that is a professional to guide you through this journey.
Yes.
Just for you to unload and just to help you through the process of healing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's important. So talking about it is a great start. But seeing someone, you know, a professional, is also very, very vital, because you'll
that's
be able
right.
to dig deeper into the pain and so forth and connect the dots, right? To make you be living
a whole person again.
Yes, fulfilled. Yeah.
By pedophilia and being a priest.
That's unfortunate, but.
So we have only 2 minutes on the airwave. So like I said, I'm gonna say a quick prayer. All right, for just not just you but the entire audience. And Father, we thank you tonight for those who are listening in, you know, different parts of the world. There's some are family, some are single, some are jobs, some are looking for jobs, some may have personal things going on in their lives, Father. So, but we thank you because you created us all. And we thank you that you are going to be the one to help us out of every situation. As long as we give ourselves to you, we trust you that because you love us and you know us more than we even know ourselves. So, Father, tonight, for those who are watching and listening, bless them. Bless their household. Bless them when they go out, when they come in. Give them favor for 2020. Those who are looking for a job, you open doors for them, Father. You will give them peace. And peace that they will wonder, they won't be able to even understand. And Father, as we about to close this segment here, we thank you for those who participated, those who joined us and shared with us and they stood by us in this in this episode here. Father, we thank you for Lady Misty, my co-host, and for the lady that called in. Father, we know that you will direct her, and her call is not in vain, but she will find a source of strength in you. And peace in you, and Father, you will direct her to the right source where she'll get the help she needs to be whole again. Amen. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Amen. See you on the next episode on Christian and Sex next Monday at what time, Misty?
It's at 9.